Our next presenter is Ms. Nisha Graves. Ms. Graves is the manager for the Community Outreach and Engagement Corps in the UNC Chapel Hill Center for Environmental Health and Susceptibility. In her current position, she coordinates environmental health outreach initiatives aimed at sharing the center's environmental health science research. Her work also entails coordinating the outreach activities of the UNC Breast Cancer and Environmental Research Program, collaborating with researchers and community partners to develop educational materials for premenopausal African American women.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. Bright and early this morning. It's a pleasure to speak today about how our group, the Community Outreach and Engagement Corps in the UNC Center for Environmental Health and Susceptibility, has worked to understand how we should communicate or how we can communicate breast cancer risk to young African American women. And we'll talk about that process. I'll talk about that process today. I want to read the formal statement. I, Nisha Bryan Graves, acknowledge that the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. No relationships to disclose. So, working on breast cancer risk outreach with young African American women, once this project became possible for us, and it's funded through NIEHS, the Breast Cancer and the Environment Research Program, once that opportunity became real for us to serve as the community partner for that program at UNC Chapel Hill, this image sums up or can sum up how this became both a professional and personal opportunity for me. Certainly professional because it was a new venture that we were excited about, but I realized that this could be my sister, my next door neighbor, Melanie, both of my sisters, my best friends. It could have been any of those women. And as you see in the center, I even put myself because this work reflects my own health and paying attention to my own breast health and how it's more than just a professional opportunity. So our program, we are the COEC, the Community Outreach and Engagement Corps at our center in UNC, has worked for many years to promote breast cancer risk information among various populations of women using a number of tools, everything from traditional workshops on the left with hands-on activities to science cafe discussions like we hosted last year with our PI, Dr. Melissa Troster, the PI of our breast cancer project. We've had young lab assistants and graduate students in Dr. Troster's lab working in science festivals, and we've even done train-the-trainer opportunities with lay health advisors. So we've really tried to reach a broad audience in providing breast cancer outreach with a number of different tools. But the purpose of the project that this five-year grant serves is, in terms of the research, to understand how obesity, pregnancies, and other environmental influences influence young African-American women's susceptibility to basal-like breast cancer, and some of you may know it more as triple-negative breast cancer. And then on the other side of that work, in terms of the outreach, as the community partner, we were charged with working with the researchers to develop and implement effective messaging that communicated breast cancer risk to those young women. Initially, basal-like breast cancer risk, but we found out through our work that women needed a much more basic level of understanding of breast cancer risk, at least at that age, the premenopausal age. So it was well beyond just looking at basal-like breast cancer risk. So in order to develop those tools and that key messaging, we found that we needed to talk to young women to know what would work to put breast cancer risk on their radar. And so we conducted a number of surveys with several dozen women to between the ages of 18 and 50. You see some of the demographic information here, but the purpose was to reach women who didn't have a personal relationship with breast cancer in the sense of not having been diagnosed, nor did they have an immediate or first-degree family member who had been diagnosed with breast cancer. So we wanted to get an even keel with their knowledge about breast cancer. And at the same time, our focus group discussions were going to give us information about their attitudes and behaviors about breast cancer. So you'll see here, we noticed that in terms of their knowledge about breast cancer, as you recall, I mentioned our initial work was to focus on basal-like breast cancer, but we learned during the focus groups that basic breast cancer terms and information about breast cancer risk was quite low among the participants, and so that was a key realization for us in terms of where we were going to have to start with some of the key messaging. Women knew that there was an aggressive type of breast cancer, even if they couldn't identify it as basal-like or triple-negative breast cancer. In terms of negative connotations, we asked women what were their first thoughts when they thought about breast cancer, and they were very quick to say death, lumps, pain. All of the women gave us negative connotations about breast cancer. If women had no family history, and even the younger women, those were the two factors that sort of made women have a lack of concern about breast cancer risk for themselves. So their age and their family history seemed to play a role in their attitude about their own risk. And then one thing that we found, I think my colleagues and I would agree, one of the most daunting statements that was made during the focus groups was that because they did not see themselves in breast cancer awareness campaigns or programs, they thought of breast cancer as a white woman's disease. So that was quite eye-opening for us. So we also asked women what were some of their primary sources for learning breast health and health information, and what or who motivated them to take care of their health. And so we heard from women that family and friends were good motivators, but also transferred information to them. The internet, across the board, the internet was a wide use of learning about health information. Physicians, that's actually interesting because we had groups of women who said, yes, my physician or my healthcare provider gives me a lot of information on breast health or breast cancer. But then we also had women who said, I should be getting breast cancer information from my physician, whether I am or not. And so that was another interesting take on how people describe not only who they get it from or where they get it from, but who they expect to be getting it from. Survivors were signs of hope and motivation. Across the board in every discussion, Robin Roberts, as a famous survivor of breast cancer, was noted in every discussion. And then television, whether it was nonfiction or fiction, television was another way that women gathered information about breast cancer. So we asked women what turned them off about breast cancer risk communication and campaigns or awareness campaigns, and two main themes came out of this. They found that they got conflicting messages from their physicians. Some of them even declared finding a lump or finding something unusual about their breast, and even when approaching their physician, because of their age or because they didn't appear to have a family history, their physicians sort of blew it off or dismissed their concerns. And then conflicting messages about comparisons between black women and white women, that was appreciated by some women. They wanted to see that comparison for themselves, not just about breast cancer, but about health among black people versus white people. And then there were some women who were really turned off by that comparison. So then we started to really hone in on the themes. As we analyzed this work, we really wanted to hone in on the themes that helped us work on developing our key messaging. And we realized right off the bat that race-specific or personally relevant and culturally appropriate information was necessary, or the messaging was necessary, easily and electronically accessible, and then also wanting physicians or healthcare providers to relay risk information to women. And we had this work on these focus group discussions published in the Journal of Healthcare for the Poor and Underserved last year, but it became the building block for the tool that we've developed. And these points, these themes became key in what we were going to develop. So we sought some opportunities with various partners. Some were very clear to us, community partners who could help us pilot some of our key messaging. And then we had researchers like our co-PI, Liza Makowski in the Department of Nutrition, who could share not only both she and Dr. Melissa Troster could share the scientific knowledge and expertise we needed, but our community advisory committee became key in also helping us develop key messaging, piloting sort of a prototype of the website we were developing, and then in the top left corner, the expertise of the UNC School of Information and Library Science. So we were excited to have a group that wanted to actually build and be the technical aspect of developing this key this tool for key messaging. So we decided to try to encompass everything, or as close to everything we could, based on what we heard from women. They wanted something electronically accessible. The internet was widely used. They didn't see themselves in awareness campaigns. So the website became a clear opportunity for us to encompass as much as we could into one tool for key messaging. So we incorporated videos that feature young African-American breast cancer survivors and family members. The videos also feature a physician and a researcher who are relaying risk information. A survey or a questionnaire that women can complete to get information about their own risk factors that they could potentially improve, and maybe even and to also know about the non-modifiable risk factors, but to really kind of give women a picture of things that they could improve to improve their own breast health. Recommended behavior changes come with completing the survey, in addition to resources that directly link them to those risk factors that they're reading about. And then built-in analytics to help us learn about the types of people who are completing the survey, who are looking at the videos, and to know what features of the website are most appealing to users, and then to provide both a desktop and a mobile version that works for people. And we launched this just over a month ago on October the 1st. So the preliminary results, and these are truly preliminary, are sort of surprising and exciting for us. We have nearly 2,500 unique users of the site. Surprising to me, at least, was that we have 71 who use the site on their desktop. 10 different countries are represented among users so far, and survivor video pages are the ones that are viewed the most. And that's actually consistent with my introducing the website during breast cancer workshops last month. We found that women gravitated to the breast cancer videos, survivors' videos. The information most sought after was about race, chemical exposures like BPA and phthalates, dietary habits, and childbirth. And then the surges in use correlated with our outreach activities. So learning about the behaviors of participants, the risk factors that users may have, we found that, 82% did not breastfeed at least a year across all of their children. Their dietary habits, 71% reported not having the best dietary habits, not having children before 35, not exercising most days of the week, and then having an overweight or obese BMI. And I want to point out, these are preliminary results, so we're still gathering data and still learning about people who are using the survey, using the website. And we hope to use this for further analysis to sort of focus on the most sought after information on the more protective behaviors. So really looking at those resources that women are attaching to as they research these risk factors. So in summary, mybcrisk.org, we use this process to learn if breast cancer risk was on the radar of young women between 18 and 50. And largely it was not. And so when we ask women what is it that would put breast cancer on their radar, make them think about breast cancer risk and their own health, we heard about this electronically accessible internet, seeing ourselves in campaigns being key ways to reach young black women. And so that's the purpose of developing mybcrisk.org. I do want to acknowledge several people, folks who are members of the Center for Environmental Health and Susceptibility and a part of the BCERP project, the Breast Cancer Project, Kathleen Gray, Liza Mikowski, and Melissa Troster, Sarah Yelton, and then members of the SILS team who worked with us diligently for the past year to develop the tool, Dr. Brad Heminger, who supervised the work of his graduate students, Michael Head and Grace Shin, and then Dr. Carrie Anders from the Leinberger Center, who participated in the videos, and other video participants were Renee Adams, Kenda Freeman, and Christy Lee, and we really appreciate them telling their personal stories as survivors. And then last and certainly not least, our community advisory committee members who not only assisted us during meetings but have helped in getting the website out and advertised and giving us other advice on developing this tool. Thank you.